Dr. Eileen Marty is an expert in tropical and travel medicine, and she has expertise with research for vaccines, and she's an infectious disease specialist who we're happy to talk to from time to time here in the morning. And Dr. Marty, as you know, the World Health Organization said that the virus now has the potential to become the new epicenter of the crisis. The United States has that potential. Why did they issue this now, and what does this mean?
They're looking at the alarming rate of cases that are being detected in New York in particular, which has already surpassed France, the entire country of France, in the number of cases. But remember what we've spoken about before. We have to detect these cases. This is the fundamental tool that we have to understand how we can actually control this virus without yet having a proven antiviral or a proven and safe vaccine. So seeing the alarming number of cases simply reflects what's been happening. And because now we have the data, WHO is able to say, well, look at that. Mm-hmm. This is a new source that we all have to pay attention to.
And it was about a week or so ago, it was a few days before the president mentioned it, and we all heard about it, that you were talking about that malaria drug that could work to treat people with the virus. Anything new on that?
Sure. The studies so far aren't really so much studies as what we call observations, right? There's not good double-blind testing of these things yet, but there is some hope, and there is a laboratory study, which is, again, not in humans, so that kind of a study has been done, and that laboratory study suggested that hydroxychloroquine, not chloroquine, but hydroxychloroquine, has some potential value in keeping this virus at bay. But I do hesitate to recommend it for a series of reasons, and importantly because some people can have side effects, and that's one. And number two is you still need to do the right studies before you properly recommend this to patients. There's also a lot of other more promising things happen. We're looking right now at some of the nitty-gritty of how this virus interacts with different components of the cells, and this has led us to 67 other potential drugs that could be of help, including, again, old drugs and currently used for a variety of different things. So, you know, this is a struggle, and I have to remind everyone that we have to use the tools we know work, and despite the nonsense that was on the telly on Sunday saying, oh, let's stop testing, that's nonsense, that's nuts. The only way we can get this thing totally under control is to get everyone who is mild, moderate, severe, or critical with this disease under the appropriate level of care, and to do that, and then to test every single contact of those people and isolate all those individuals as well. And it's imperative, Bob, that the Defense Production Act be not just something that is spoken about, but actually utilized. It has to be put into actual effect. We have to, for example, unused hotel spaces, unused cruise ship spaces can be harnessed temporarily, and the appropriate businesses, given appropriate remuneration for, but can be used to isolate safely and protectively individuals who have mild or moderate disease away from their family members, and in safety and with food and everything else they need, as a way to truly bring this down quickly. Because I think you and I want this thing to be over, and we need to do those methods that we know work, and those are very important things, Bob.
Yep, absolutely, and you should know. Yeah, we're doing that in Chicago with hotel rooms. There's a very alarming study out from the CDC. They looked at these cruise ship surfaces, and did I hear this right? The virus can live or has lived on those surfaces for 17 days?
Well, you know, everything about this virus is really has a lot of features that are very alarming. Here's the bottom line. With the right stabilizers, and stabilizers are like sugars and salts and mucin that are in people's saliva, or, you know, which comes out when you speak sometimes or cough or sneeze or what have you. And they're in feces, they're in urine, et cetera. So when the virus is not from a test tube and comes out this way, these stabilizers allow the virus to live for much longer times on surfaces. And so most of the studies, Bob, put it at about 9 days, not 17. So I would question that study a little bit. But still, 9 days is a long time for virus to be viable. And when I say viable, I'm not saying they detecting virus with RT-PCR, because that could be dead virus. I'm saying they actually are able to grow the virus and prove that it's still alive. And so that's the critical component, is how long does it stay alive on a particular surface if you don't wash it off. But remember, we can wash these things off. We can clean these spaces. And that's what we're all obligated to do right now, is to maximize the cleaning of surfaces. And you don't have to use corrosive agents. You don't have to use full, you know, chlorine that could actually hurt your lungs, the toxic fumes. You can use even soaps to wash off your personal spaces and keep things as clean as possible.
I come home from work here in the studio, and my wife wants me to change clothes. What do I tell her? I don't want to change my clothes when I come home. Do I have to do that? Should I do that?
Yes, Bob, you should. That is actually one of the recommendations, is that when you walk in from having been out and about in the environment, you remove those clothes, you put it into a bag, take it to the, get yourself into a shower, and have that bag put into the laundry if you have a laundry at home. And if not, find the way to make sure that clothing is separated from the rest of your articles at home. That is actually one of the recommendations, including even wiping down the soles of the shoes with an alcohol wipe or something of that ilk, or just a cloth with a little bit of soap and water.
Here I was thinking I was going to tell Marianne, Dr. Marty says I don't need to change clothes or shower when I come home. Oh, well, I'll follow your instructions.
Bob, I've been changing clothes at the door now for over a week myself. When it's a suit, you know, a nice looking suit or something like that, and I don't want to ruin it by sticking it in the wash, I take the suit, if it's not made out of wool, of course, and just put it in the dryer so that it heats up and helps get rid of any virus that might be clinging on there.
All right. Also, there's still confusion about Tylenol and what over-the-counter meds are good if you have some symptoms. What are you recommending?
Well, okay, so there is only one observational report of maybe ibuprofen causing harm. And certainly, Tylenol doesn't have the same way of functioning. It functions very differently. It's metabolized very differently from the nonsteroidal anti-inflammatories like ibuprofen. Having said that, there's a couple things to consider. There are other drugs that do work like ibuprofen, specifically indomethacin, which was proven to actually help people that had SARS back in the day when SARS was the problem, right? So the jury's out on how dangerous or not dangerous nonsteroidal anti-inflammatories are to people. However, that said, since Tylenol is available, it's inexpensive. This is acetaminophen is readily available, and it does the job for many of the things that the nonsteroidals do, not all. And it's probably a safer choice. Now, there is the caveat that people who have COVID have a little bit of abnormalities in their liver, and we can see that because they're what we call their liver enzymes kind of go up a little bit to levels like 70 to 100. So, and Tylenol is metabolized by the liver, but there's no evidence whatsoever right now, none, that interaction is dangerous. But I would hesitate to simply say, oh, this is absolutely safe, when there is that tiny question.
Dr. Eileen Marty, thanks as always, Professor. I got to go home and shower and change, I guess. So thanks, and we'll talk to you again very soon. Have a good day.